From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, a healthy part of your complete breakfast. And here is your host at the J. Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park in Chicago, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, Chicago. We are so excited to be here on this beautiful summer day in Chicago's Millennium Park. Now, we are doing this show, seriously, right next to Lollapalooza, which is happening this weekend. It is right over there behind a fence. Now, we here do not need them. This is the festival version of the nerd table. We got each other. So let me tell you, grab onto your inhalers, because this is going to get exciting. Later on, we're going to be talking to the rising superstar of Chicago hip-hop, Chance the Rapper. Our first question will be, so, what do you do? Whatever you do for a living, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Matt Bellard.
Hey, Matt, where are you calling from?
From Santa Monica, California.
I love Santa Monica. Santa Monica's a great place.
Nice.
It's got the beach. It's got the beautiful people.
Home of Three's Company.
There you are.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Matt. Let me introduce you to our panel. First up, a comedian and a producer now for Why with Hannibal Buress on Comedy Central. He'll be performing at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood on August 1st through the 8th. It's Brian Babylon. Next, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of CUNY TV's Science Go to the Movies, it's Faith Saley. And the host of My Grandmother's Ravioli Wednesdays on the Cooking Channel and a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca joins us here. So, Matt, you're going to start us off with Who's Bill This Time. Bill Curtis right here is going to read for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, explain or identify, perhaps, just two of them. Do that, and you will win our prize. The voice of scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle on your voicemail. Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready, Peter.
All right. Now, your first quote is a warning from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
Don't be the world's biggest jackass.
That was Lindsey Graham giving some advice to the 16 other people who, like him, are doing what?
Running for the GOP nomination.
Exactly right, Matt. Very good. Let's hear it for Matt. Right now, nobody knows how many Republican candidates there actually are. It's an irrational number, like the value of pi. So the first GOP debate next week will only feature the candidates who are the top 10 in the last few polls. Donald Trump will be there. He's still number one. Jeb Bush will be there. He's taking the spot always reserved for a person named Bush. But the rest of the candidates have all been forced to turn on the crazy just to attract enough attention to make the cut. Basically, all the GOP candidates are in the position of people who are about to be sentenced for a terrible crime. They have to prove they're insane, or they'll never be heard from again. Have you seen what these guys are actually doing in order to, like, get a bump in the polls? Rand Paul put out a video in which he attacked the tax code with a chainsaw, set it on fire, and put it in a wind chipper.
And then that is
wrestling behavior. That is pro wrestling behavior. Actually, in this campaign, it passes for policy discussion.
Yeah.
And then Lindsey Graham joined in.
Lindsey
right?
Graham, as you may remember, Donald Trump gave out Lindsey Graham's phone number in public. So Lindsey Graham put out a video of himself destroying his cell phone, and people watched that video, got a lot of hits, and they said, "Well, that's a Nokia Model 6133 flip phone, but who's that guy?" It's like, whatever they need to do to get into the debate, they'll do it, because if they're not in the debate, they're done. Bobby Jindal went to Zimbabwe and killed that lion again. And this is true. So there are 17 candidates, somebody just joined this week. I've already forgotten them. And the ones who don't make the cut for the actual debate next week will be invited to a pre-debate that everybody is calling the kids' table.
The kids' table.
They're
going to
sit around. They're going to drink some sippy cups. Have some juice boxes.
Are they calling that seriously?
No. What they're going to do is they're going to get an hour to talk about the issues, and then Megyn Kelly is going to put on Frozen so they don't make any noise while they have the real debate. All right, Matt, here is your next quote.
Feel the burn.
That is the campaign slogan for what other presidential candidate created by his supporters in Vermont?
I'm going to guess Bernie Sanders.
Yes, Bernie Sanders, Matt. Amazingly enough, there are also Democrats running for president. Among them is Bernie Sanders. Despite our making fun of his hair a few months ago, burn momentum continues to gather. And we are glad that his supporters went with Feel the Burn for their slogan rather than A Burning Sensation or It Burns When I Vote.
But you still have to go to the doctor regardless of all of those options.
Yeah, check it out. Well, the great thing about Bernie is he appeals to such a wide variety of voters, both urban liberals and suburban liberals. And his supporter base has every shade of white. It's...
You know, I think he does have momentum, though, because I saw that he has a signature cocktail now. If you're very grassrootsy and you're having a house party, you're supposed to make a Bernie Sanders maple syrup cocktail.
Really? I thought it was something like vodka and kombucha. I had no idea. But now, of course, everybody wants Bernie to succeed, even people that don't agree with him, because they want a contest with Hillary. They don't want Hillary to just walk to the nomination, right? And she is really playing to protect her lead. She was asked this week her opinion on the controversial Keystone XL pipeline, and her response was, "I'll tell you when I'm president." It's not a dodge. It's a cliffhanger strategy. It's like, you know, finding out who killed JR.
Right.
Or, for you younger listeners, who swiped Dora's backpack. You have to keep watching to find out.
But you know what? She can almost say that for every answer, the whole election, you know.
She has been making some statements. It turns out that she is for good things and against bad things.
She's a go-getter.
She's a go-getter. This is true. A website submitted a questionnaire, got her to answer. They asked her what her greatest weakness was, and she answered, quote, "I get really frustrated with people who don't understand what I think it's going to take to make our country great tomorrow, just like we were yesterday."
What?
That's what she said. That's her greatest weakness.
What kind of Obi-Wan Kenobi talk was that?
She's preserving a sense of mystery. I find that very sexy. I don't like candidates who show you everything.
I hope she maintains that through the presidency when she's inaugurated. She'll be like, Hillary Rodham, I'm not going to tell you. All right. Matt, for your last quote, some inspiring words.
Think small. Limit your dreams.
That was Thomas J. Whalen, professor at Boston University, suggesting a slogan for his city after it backed out of its bid to get what?
The Olympics.
The Olympics, yes. The Olympic torch in Boston has been extinguished because the mayor of the city peed all over it. He said, there is no way the city would be responsible for any cost overruns. No way. And people are saying, well, there won't be any cost overruns. Really? The last Olympics that came in on budget happened in 392 BC, and they did it naked on dirt.
I mean, you know what? I want the Olympics in, like, Peoria. Hey, what was that slogan again?
The slogan?
That be small. That sounds...
That was a very upset guy. He was a booster for the Olympics, and he was so... upset that Boston just walked away from it, that he said the message of this move was think small, limit your dreams.
Wow.
That's not bad advice.
Yeah, pretty much. Bill, how did Matt do in our quiz?
He was Boston strong. Matt's a winner.
Congratulations, Matt. Well done. We want to remind everyone to join us most weeks over at the Chase Bank Auditorium here in Chicago. It's just a few blocks to my right. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, yes, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, experts say that Brazilian athletes will have a distinct advantage at the aquatic sports when they host the Olympics next year. Why?
Because they're always walking around in bathing suits, and they're just
these are the aquatic sports, not so much the indoor pool, but like outdoor in the ocean, waters. There's some swimming, there's sailing, boating, kayaking. That sort of thing.
They're less afraid of sharks. They're fearless.
It's like, you know, at these Olympics, antibiotics are going to be a performance-enhancing drug.
They have resistance to.
Yes. Yeah. They have immunity.
Right.
To the insanely poisonous, polluted waters off of Rio.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As Rio gears up for the 2016 Games, we've been hearing a lot about the water, the kayak, and other aquatic events will be held in. Specifically, that if you drop something into it, it will bounce off. It's sludgy, there's rotting fish and trash floating by, and it is apparently chemically identical to raw sewage. And this is the standard that Boston knew it could not live up to.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from E. coli goes walking.
This week, the AP commissioned a study to assess just how bad the situation is. It's really not good. The researchers they hired dissolved in the water. Bob Costas got another pink eye just reading the report.
So what do you get? I mean, is it a rash?
No, there have been cases.
It's a Brazilian wax. No, all your hair comes off.
Hey, it's Peter. So Gene Weingarten at the Washington Post likes to collect what he calls aptonyms, which is people whose name fits their profession brilliantly. And one of the best ever is Mr. Tito Beverage. That's his name. Tito Beverage. He makes Tito's Handmade Vodka, which is a sponsor of this very podcast. They incorporate the concept of artisan craftsmanship found in boutique wineries into the spirits industry. And they make Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito Beverage. Did I mention that? His name is Beverage and he makes vodka. He still uses the time-honored pot still batch distillation process. I don't know what that is, but it sounds very legitimate. And it's all in Austin, Texas. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from corn and is naturally gluten-free. So, party down, celiacs.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Mo Rocca, Faith Staley, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the J. Pritzker Pavilion at Millennium Park in Chicago, Illinois. You can hear it, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Right now it's time for the Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, everyone. Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Connie Liu. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
What do you do there?
I'm an OBGYN.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of doctors in Boston.
There are a lot of doctors here. I'm married to a doctor. I just got married last weekend, actually.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
What kind of a doctor is he?
He's a urologist, meaning downstairs urologist, yeah.
Is that like a counterpart?
No.
Yeah, you guys are kind of soulmates.
Sort of.
Yeah, we come as a pair. Everything from the navel to the knees, depending on the guy, is what we take care of.
Right.
Okay.
Welcome to our show, Connie. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Connie's topic?
Oh, I've got vertigo.
Long ago, people turned to the films of Alfred Hitchcock when they needed to be terrified because they didn't yet have killer drones. Or the GOP presidential race to be afraid of. Well, this week, we came across a story that was a Hitchcock movie come to life. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Guess the one that isn't lying about this week's news. You'll win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Are you ready to do this?
Yeah.
Let's then. First up, let's hear from Faith Saley.
If you'd like to have gorgeous gams like Tippi Hedren, there's a workout for you. It's the birds in real life, except more fun and less murdery. It's huge in the UK. They call it gull running. And here's how it works. You go to a boardwalk in a seaside village like Brighton or Blackpool. You buy your chips with salt and vinegar. Then you pull up your hoodie hood, extend the arm holding the greasy gull bait overhead, and run your arse off. Inevitably, before you can explain to the seagulls that chips are not really chips but actually French fries, you are attacked by nasty, horrifying, feathery freaks. Whoever sprints the furthest without having his Cornish pasty nicked and his eyes pecked into bloody wells wins, even if he's covered in globs of white poop. The motto of the gull runners who taunt the bloodthirsty birds? Keep calm and carry on.
People reenacting the birds for fun on the beaches of England as they run away from hungry attacking birds. Your next story of a Hitchcockian situation this week comes from Brian Babylon.
Have you ever had that strange feeling that somebody's watching you? And what if you were right? And on top of that, details of your daily life were being documented and posted online. That is what happened to Brad and Kim Kiwell from Chicago. They were victims of a website called rearwindow.com, part of a creepy cult craze called rear windowing. This is where a person slash weirdo uses a high-powered telescope to pick unsuspecting victims and observe them on their daily goings-on. Kim Kiwell said she found out about rearwindow.com from her daughter Jessica, whose friends kept asking her if her dad's back is really as hairy as a wild alpaca. When she finally went to the site, she found over 120 posts about her family's life. I thought I was going to be horrified, but I went through it, and it was actually kind of sweet. And now that we know someone is watching us, we've closed the blinds, put up a note that said, thanks. And now Brad has started waxing his back.
Rear Window, once a Hitchcock thriller, now an online activity. Your last story of Hitchcock come to life comes from Morocco.
With the end of California's drought nowhere in sight, the state's hotels and motels have moved well beyond guilting guests into using the same towels for 2 days in a row. Long showers are one of our biggest problems, says Shane Haug, the state's hospitality commissioner. And so one motel is introducing a policy that critics call psycho. At the Arbogast Motel in Bakersfield, guests can enjoy a warm, luxurious 5-minute shower. 1 second beyond 5 minutes, the water turns freezing cold, the very technique Alfred Hitchcock used to elicit screams from Janet Leigh in the shower scene from 1960's Psycho. At the 6-minute mark, Bernard Herrmann's terrifying score begins playing loudly. And if the shower continues to the 7-minute mark, yes, you guessed it, Rusty the bellhop will put on a wig, walk slowly into your bathroom, tear open the shower curtain, and hand you a towel that you'll be expected to use for the next 3 days. Says Rusty, who was born in 1989, I don't get it. What's so scary about Mrs. Doubtfire?
All right. So we saw a story, a real story in the news, that reminded us a lot of Alfred Hitchcock. Was it from Faith, people reenacting the birds for fun on beaches in England? From Brian, the creepy activity in Rear Window, now a fun internet activity where people spy on their neighbors through the rear window. Or from Mo, the psycho shower technique at a California motel to keep water use down. Which of these do you think was a real story from this week's news?
I'll go for the third story.
You're going to go for the third story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was, in fact, Moe's story of the psycho shower. This is the shower, the motel in California, where if you wait too long, they'll reenact psycho on you.
Okay, stop repeating it. Let's stop summarizing it, and let's award me the point.
No. I just wanted to make sure that she had chosen, that this is the choice she wanted to make, that she's picking Moe's story of the psycho shower.
Well, are you saying no?
I'm not saying anything.
I don't know. Brian's story sounded pretty realistic, too.
It was.
Rear windowing. All right. Well, you have to make your final choice.
I'll go with Brian's story.
Oh, you switched over to Brian's story. You picked Moe's. Then you switched over to Brian's story of rear windowing. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone familiar with the real Hitchcockian reenactment.
the seagull chase run. It's those two things that get them off the couch.
That was Ed Zilka. He's the executive director of the Chicago Area Runners Association, known as CARA. And he was opining on the guys in England who were running as fast as they could away from pursuing gulls. Faith's story, as it turns out, the one you didn't consider was the true one. However, you earned a point for Brian Babylon.
Yep. Yes, you did.
Preventing a new craze.
Thank you very
much. Thank you so much for playing. We really appreciate it. And if I'm ever in Boston and I need to have a baby, you'll be the person I call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rocky by a little birdie, way up in the treetop.
And now the game where we ask very cool people about very lame things. Chance. Oh, you're going to work out great, I can tell. So. Chance the Rapper got his name because nobody would believe a guy named Chancellor Bennett could rap. As far as we see it, he's the king of Chicago hip-hop. Who cares about that Kanye guy? And we are delighted to have him with us today. Chance the Rapper, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Chicago. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're a Chicago guy. You grew up in the South Side?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you haven't been growing up for very long. You're only about, what, you're 23?
I'm 22.
You're 22.
23.
Yeah.
I'm a young guy.
You are?
Yeah.
And this is the story we heard, which is that you've been performing since you were a kid, right?
Yeah. I started out doing talent shows and open mic programs and youth programs around the city, and yeah. I've been doing it for a while now.
We heard you, at one point, you did a fine Michael Jackson impersonation.
Wow, that's crazy. That's deep. Yeah, I did do that at my kindergarten graduation. So less than 20 years ago, but pretty recent.
So, but the story we heard is that if you have an origin story like a superhero, it's that you were thrown out of school for a little while when you were in high school.
Yeah.
And you took some time, and what did you do?
So when I was a senior in high school, I got suspended for having marijuana around the school. It wasn't even really in the school. Just. So I got in trouble for this, for having marijuana, and I was suspended from school. And so on that 10-day break, I started recording a project called 10 Day, which was my debut project and put a lot of people on what I was doing.
Yeah. And our understanding is you put that on the internet, you worked on it for a while, put it on the internet, was ready, and it kind of took off.
Yeah.
You started making your name very quickly.
It did a lot for me, yeah.
So you're touring in hip-hop shows, you've put out some albums that have done tremendously well, you're headlining festivals. What would you say now, if he or she were here, to the principal of the high school who suspended you?
Well, there's a strong chance that they're here, because this is an NPR show.
Yeah. If they're not here, they're listening.
No, I'd probably say thank you. Shouts out to them for all the inspiration.
For throwing you out of school.
Hey, so, Chance, how do you actually compose a rap? Are you so talented that rhymes just come to you? Or I would have to sit down with a rhyming dictionary and work for days. Yeah. But how does it come to you?
That's a great question. I think there's a lot of premeditation, if you will, to making a rap. You know, you got to sit down, focus on your breathing. You know, you want to do a good workout, push-ups maybe, sit-ups, play cards, think about your taxes, think about all the people that you've met, you know, in this life and possibly a past life, if you believe in that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you take off your socks and shoes, put a pencil between your toes, and you start writing. And you got a masterpiece.
Yes. I should write that down.
Yeah. It's a lot of steps, so you should definitely write that down.
But you understand that whatever you say about this, everybody here will believe you.
Yeah.
They'll be going home and I was like, Ralph, I heard the most amazing thing about this hip-hop music. They write it with their feet. Yeah. Did you know that?
Would you please give it to me straight? I'm 46. Is it too late for me to become a rapper?
No, I don't think so. Some people might say it's too soon for you to become a rapper. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it's interesting.
There's a certain experience.
Yeah. Now, I know there's different schools of rap. There's gangster rap. There's West Coast rap. I know that one of your big hits is a song about your grandmother, Sunday Candy. Right now, you're wearing a cardigan.
I am.
So I'm thinking, are you like nice boy rap?
Like, he's such an...
I'll take that. I'll wear that for sure. I definitely would take Nice Boy Rap. I like to write about whatever is closest to my heart at the time. And, yeah, I mean, I'll take Nice Boy Rap for sure, because I think, like, that's what women are into, is Nice Boy Rap. You know? Yeah.
I'm like, you have figured this out.
One of the coolest things that I have read about you is that you grew up idolizing Kanye, right? And you've performed with him, right? You did a couple shows. Did he live up to your expectation?
Yeah, definitely. Kanye West is like one of the greatest human beings of all time. I don't know if you ever heard him say it, but he'll tell you himself.
I'm sorry.
I want to ask you, what is the rhyme that you're most proud of? Like a rhyme that you went, wow, that is really cool that I just pulled that off.
I wrote this song in the late 80s called Bohemian Rhapsody. And
I think I've heard that.
That's one of the ones that I'm most proud of.
That was all you?
There must be two words that you rhymed that you went, oh, like...
Two words back to back?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good two words. Because I'm actually super into that. It's trying to rhyme words that people don't use all the time. Recently, I rhymed the words growth spurt with tippy toes hurt.
And, oh, that's great.
And, yeah. Like, if you're there, it's like, in context, it's like, okay, yeah. I see what this guy's doing.
Can I tell you my favorite rhyme? You probably know it. It's from Funny Girl, and one of the characters says, well, my heart ain't made of marble, but your rhythm's really horrible. Rhyming marble and horrible.
Yeah.
That's kind of, it's clever.
It's good. Well, Chance, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Chance the Rapper meets Saran the Rapper.
So you're a rapper, you're one of the best out there, but you can't keep leftovers fresh and tasty. We're going to ask you three questions about actually rapping things. If you get two right, you'll win on behalf of one of our listeners.
Okay.
So, Bill, who is Chance the Rapper playing for?
Meg Sharma of Chicago, Illinois.
All right. Here is your first question. People like to come up with alternative uses for Saran wrap, but one of them, according to scientists, never works. What is it? A, wrapping yourself tightly in Saran wrap to lose weight. B, stretching it down a stairway to make an in-home water slide. Or C, eating it so you make a funny crinkling noise when you walk.
I'm sure A is the right one, right?
It is, in fact, yeah. People do this all the time. Doesn't work. Could hurt you if you wrap yourself too tightly. Don't try it. Next question. Cosmopolitan magazine, of course, includes Saran wrap in one of their famous sex move that'll blow his mind articles. What do they recommend you do with Saran wrap? A, wrap yourself in Saran wrap like leftovers, hide in the refrigerator, and wait until he gets hungry for a midnight snack. B, take nude pictures of yourself for him with Saran wrap over the lens, so they're blurrier and not quite so accurate. Or C, pull out a long length of Saran wrap, twist it into a rope, and tie yourselves tightly together and see what you can do.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B? They say, take the Saran wrap, put it over the lens of the camera, make it blurry, so your flaws might be blurred out.
I feel like that's something Cosmo would tell people to do.
No, Cosmo told them to do C, to tie themselves together with the Saran wrap, so you can't move or separate or get up and... get out of there. It's totally sexy. All right, this is exciting. Get this last one correct, you win. Sometimes Saran wrap can save the day, as when what happened last year in Chile? A mugger on the street was captured by bystanders and held by wrapping him to a lamppost naked with Saran wrap. B, a man was saved from a house fire when he jumped into a makeshift Saran wrap net. Or C, a desperate surgeon used Saran wrap instead of a skin graft, creating the world's first transparent man.
Those are all so ridiculous. D.
D.
No, I'm going to go with A.
You're
I think
with
it's A.
A. It is A. A, yes! You all did it! Bill, how did Chance the Rapper do in our quiz?
Well, he got 2 out of 3. That means you won, Chance.
Yes.
Good.
Awesome.
Hey, I'm going to make my suggestion, and you tell me if I'm wrong. If people out there listening don't know Chance the Rapper's work yet, a great place to start is the video for Sunday Candy. Not only is it a great song, not only is it really different than what you've seen, but he is quite a dancer. You should check this out.
Thank you, guys.
Would you agree with that recommendation?
I'd agree with that. Definitely check out Sunday Candy, guys.
Chance the Rapper's new Family Matters Tour has just been announced. You can find details at chanceraps.com. Chance the Rapper, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you, guys, so much.
Chicago's Millennium Park. Chicago's own Chance the Rapper. Give it up.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she love me. With her eyes, with her smile, with her belt, with her hands, with her money. I am the thesis of a prayer.
This episode is made possible by Talenti, Gelato, and Sorbetto. Talenti has created Flavorize.me, a website that analyzes your social media personality and creates a custom gelato flavor inspired by you. And Talenti will actually make some of the best flavors from the site. That means a lucky few will be able to literally taste their own personalities. If I win, it'll be sweet with a bitter aftertaste. To see what flavor you are, go to flavorize.me today and let Talenti get to work.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Brian Babylon, Mo Rocca, and Faith Saley. And here again is your host at the J. Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park. In Chicago, Illinois, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill the Rhymer drops some limericks on you in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Faith, Speaker of the House John Boehner is known for his tendency to burst into tears when talking about his background or his family, or when he wakes up every morning and realizes he's Speaker of that House. But this week, he burst into tears multiple times while being interviewed by whom?
Oh, gosh. Is it someone known for making people burst into tears?
Well, it's a media outfit, not known for emotional outbursts, unless, of course, somebody wins in the last green. It's a sports channel, yes.
The only one I know is ESPN.
No, it's a specific sports channel.
Oh, Fox Sports Channel. No, the Congressional Sports Center.
Remember when I said...
The Golf Channel.
The Golf Channel. John Boehner was interviewed by the Golf Channel. He is a famously enthusiastic golfer, so of course... The Golf Channel would want to interview him. Other than Tiger Woods, he is the first non-white person they've ever put on their programming. Boehner talked about many subjects, and golfers everywhere were fascinated to finally hear the perspective of a wealthy male Republican.
And there's no crying in golf.
Did he get choked up about the game, the beautiful game?
This isn't, if you've never seen him, by the way, this isn't crying like a little weepy, you know? This is blubbering. John Boehner has two settings. He's got aloof, and he's got the leave Britney alone guy.
It's an ugly cry. It's an ugly cry.
He goes to snot bubble level of cry.
Yeah, he really does. Like, yeah. It's wet. Like, you don't know what's snot and what's tears. It's terrible.
I admire that in a man.
I mean, it's nice. A guy is in touch with his emotions. Sure. That's important. But keep in mind, he, as Speaker of the House, third in line for the presidency. What if some disaster happens? He's in charge. And then he's like, the State of the Union is really sad. I mean, Mo, it is time for a game that we call...
I've got good news and bad news.
We're going to tell you some bad news. You tell us the good news. Ready? Here's the bad news. A major U.S. city, we found out this week, is sinking irreversibly into the earth. What's the good news?
That the city is... Well, I don't hate Miami. I hope it's not Miami.
It's not Miami.
It's a city that we would like to see sink into... is Toledo sinking?
What do you have against Toledo?
Nothing. I love Jamie Farr.
I'll give you a hint. It was originally built in a swamp.
Washington, D.C.
Yes, indeed, Washington, D.C. It's sinking. We all know that Washington, D.C. was built in a swamp. The first time in history, a fetid, damp sinkhole of disease was made even worse.
Oh, God. Boehner is never going to stop crying.
I know. The original contractors apparently worked for the government because the city is now sinking into the ground. Climate change, of course, will make it worse, so we can expect Washington to be completely gone in about 100 years unless we can figure out a way to speed it up. Oh.
Do they really project within a century?
No. That was a bit of an exaggeration. They do think it'll sink a good foot over the next century, which will make things difficult.
Well, so will I.
W-A-S-H-I-N-G-T-O-N, baby. D-C. W-A-S-H-I-N-G-T-O-N, baby. D-C.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming shows in Ann Arbor, Michigan on October 1st and Des Moines, Iowa, October 29th. And check out our How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian teach you how to name your baby. They suggest the names Mike or Ian. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jane Moss. You're calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, how are things in Louisville?
They're good. They're good. They're a little warm.
A little warm. We're coming down to Louisville.
I know. I will be there.
That's so exciting. What do you do there?
I work as a case manager for single moms at a local nonprofit.
Oh, that's really good work. I'm not going to make a joke about that. It's important that you do that. That's good for you.
Thank you.
Well, Jane, welcome to our show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner. You ready to play?
Absolutely.
Here is your first limerick.
This hotel room is not quite Queen Anne, and let's hope we will not need the can. But it's great for a stakeout, and yes, a quick makeout. We're parked by the road in a...
van?
Yes, a van, according to CNN. The hippest hotel in New York City is a Chevy van. For only $22 a night, you can go through Airbnb and rent the back of a van owned by a man named Jonathan. Stay there. He says it's not for everyone. For example, it's not for people who need electricity, running water, or a bathroom. And if someone knocks on your door and says, room service, do not answer it.
But you know what? That is what Mitt Romney was talking about, man. That is a small business. He built it, America.
It's an entrepreneur, man.
Yep.
You got to give him credit.
Yep.
And you got to give credit to the Starbucks he parks in front of so his guests can go in and use the bathroom.
I want you to know that I can use a Starbucks bathroom without ever touching my hands to anything in it. I can do the entire thing with my feet. And I'm going to do a video, and I'm going to put it online.
Do you open the door with your elbow?
I use my foot. I can use my foot.
Open the door?
Yep. I can do the entire thing. Yeah. I really can. Because I'm very...
so hygienic.
Nobody can see this on radio, obviously, but I'm very flexible.
Whoa.
So I can get my foot up. Okay, I can do that, like... And then I can even, with the toe, I can even, like, the bolt, like to lock it. But I can do the entire thing.
Your kung fu technique is very powerful, Padawan. All right, here is your next limerick.
At portrayals in films, I'm appalled. At a young age, my follicles stalled. In movies, the villains who do all the killing aren't shaggy, but totally...
bald.
Yes, indeed, bald. Sure, Hollywood has long been guilty of mistreating women and minorities, but what about the bald white guys? Who speaks for us? If you see a bald guy in a movie, you know he is the bad guy, right? It's Lex Luthor, it's Dr. Evil, it's Sinead O'Connor. One man, one brave bald voice, has started a video campaign to call attention to Hollywood's anti-bald bias. It's quite moving. If you haven't seen it, imagine Sarah McLachlan's Humane Society ads, but instead of a sad dog, she's cradling Jason Alexander.
Is there something about you bald men that makes you evil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They miss the smell of Pantene Pro-V. They miss conditioner in their hair.
What do you mean, they?
I'm bald. But I'm black bald. That's sexy. I'm just saying, baby.
I know. Here is your last limerick.
For pop songs, I never would settle. Now I'm aging, but still in fine fettle. There's a spring in my walk. because I really could rock. I feel great because I love heavy
metal.
Yes!
Yes, it is.
Contrary to the way they might look, fans of Slayer and Motley Crue back in the day are doing better than everyone else now. A study of the lives of headbangers found that they are, in their later years, more well-adjusted, healthier, and unpleasantly pierced than others who didn't listen to heavy metal. The theory is that even though their lifestyle included drugs, a diet of live bats, and listening to really terrible music, they were part of a very strong community with healthy bonds. That's very good for you. Also, many of them are still into metal today, if you count hips. Bill, how did Jane do in our quiz?
Just like American Pharoah at the Derby in Louisville. 3-0, a
very
winner.
Good. Whoa. I was wondering where you were coming with that.
Okay.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing our game.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now it is time to go on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
I can. It's easy. First time ever, a three-way tie.
Okay. All right, we have randomly decided that Brian is going to go first. You're up first, Brian. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. The NFL announced this week that they were upholding Tom Brady's suspension for his role in blank.
Deflategate.
Yes. This week, the White House announced it would oppose any effort to defund blank.
Planned Parenthood.
Right, before being arrested for wandering through his neighborhood while brandishing a knife, a Washington man first ran into his house and blanked.
Made a sandwich.
No, he grabbed his banjo, came out, and serenaded the police. The Arizona Cardinals announced Monday that they had hired the NFL's first ever blank coach.
Lady coach.
Yes. Lady coach.
Lady
a
coach.
A Washington fugitive who'd been on the run for nearly a year was spotted by police after they saw him blanking.
They saw him on American Idol.
They saw him starring in a movie. You were close. Like all fugitives trying to keep a low profile, Jason Stange got a part on the big screen, starring as the lead in a low-budget horror movie.
Oh, there's that Jason Statham. I'm like, what?
What? No, different guy. Worse, he posed for photos in the newspaper that wrote about it. Just to be merciful, when the police grabbed him and sent him back to jail, they said it was to help make Shawshank Redemption 2. Bill, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Well, Brian got 3 right for 6 more points.
Not
he
good.
Has 9, but he has the lead.
All right. Faith. We move down the table. Faith, you're up next. Fill in the blank. This week, police in Zimbabwe arrested a local hunter who helped an American man kill a blank named Cecil.
Lion.
Yes, the NSA announced plans on Monday to destroy 10 years' worth of collected blank data.
Collected phone data?
Yes. On Tuesday, Joyce Mitchell pleaded guilty to helping 2 murderers escape from a prison in blank.
New York.
Yes. On Tuesday, a GOP representative from North Carolina filed a bid to oust blank as the Speaker of the House.
John Boehner.
Right. In a speech last week, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said she had a lot in common with blank.
Notorious B.I.G.?
Yes, Biggie Smalls. On Thursday, Facebook detailed its plans to provide cost-effective Wi-Fi using solar-powered blanks.
Drones.
Yes, on Thursday, former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore became the 17th person to blank.
Declares candidacy for president.
Yes, a theater troupe in the U.K. announced that it would be staging the first ever production of King Lear cast almost exclusively with blank.
Little people.
Sheep. According to the program, King Lear with Sheep is an experimental reevaluation of its famous predecessor that overturns theatrical conventions through the startling and revolutionary device of costumed sheep. Another plus, audience members can keep themselves warm, if needed, by making a sweater out of Cordelia. Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Well, the audience got Sheep right.
Yes, I know.
But Faith got 7 right, 14 more points. She now has 17 in the lead.
Well done. How many, then, does Mo need to win?
Well, you need 7 to tie and 8 to win.
Oh, my gosh, Mo. Here we go. Investigators from Boeing say that debris found in the Indian Ocean this week may belong to the missing blank flight.
The Malaysia Airlines.
Yes. On Monday, the Boy Scouts of America voted to end the group's ban on blank.
On gay scout leaders.
Right.
This week, 35 women who accused Blank of sexual assault appeared together in the cover of New York Magazine.
Bill Cosby.
Yes, on Wednesday, the Federal Open Market Committee announced that despite strong economic growth, it would not raise Blank.
Interest rates.
Yes, Massachusetts police investigating reports of a dead body in the street later confirmed that it was a Blank.
The only thing I can think of, and it's not going to be right, is a mannequin.
No, it was a delicious brisket.
Okay.
After learning that their onboard computers were vulnerable to remote hacking, Blank recalled 1.4 million of their vehicles.
Oh, it's Chrysler.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
On Sunday, British cyclist Chris Froome won his second Blank.
Tour de France.
Right. A North Carolina man made all other marriage proposals look bad when he blanked on Monday.
He made all other marriage proposals look bad when he, in North Carolina, when he did something incredibly romantic. Right? Is that the idea?
I like your thinking. Go on.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're out of time. He stopped their proposal halfway through, thwarted a robbery, and then continued with it.
Oh, my God. I know.
No. You know? You knew that? Just as one Dave Farity got down on one knee at a romantic dinner, he noticed a restaurant employee chasing after a robber who was making his way to the door. Dave stood up, grabbed the man by the neck, restrained him till the cops arrived. Once that happened, he got back down on his knee, said, "Where was I?" and continued the proposal. We're happy to announce that she said yes. How could you say no at that point? And the two are now planning their wedding, which will take place in Dave's hometown, Gotham City. Bill, did Mo do well enough to win?
Well, he got 6 right, which is pretty good. 12 more points. He got 15, but that means Faith wins with 17.
Congratulations, Faith! In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict who will steal the spotlight from Donald Trump at next week's debate, and how. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Burnman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jesse Batender's Game. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Miles Dernboss. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy N. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Linwood. Danforth. Now, panel, who is going to out-Trump Trump at next week's debate? What are they going to do? Brian Babylon.
I'm going to go with Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe. He's always up to no good.
From Faith Saley.
Chris Christie will flip the kiddie table like a Real Housewife of New Jersey.
And Mo Rocca.
After Dennis Rodman delivers his nominating speech of Trump at the Republican National Convention, El Chapo will swoop in and kidnap both of them before the two are daringly rescued by none other than Kim Jong-un, who will become the 18th GOP nominee.
Woo! And if any of that happens, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks to Faith Saley, Brian Babylon, Mo Rocca. Thanks to Donna LaPietra, the Millennium Park Foundation. Thanks to the as many as 15,000 people who came out to see us here in the most beautiful park, in the most beautiful city in America.
Yes.
You are the best.
I love it.
I am Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.